Brett Cosell of NFL Films is here with us at the desk. We're going to do a version of the Install Podcast live and in person. Greg, it's great to see you.
Buck, great seeing you, man. Instead of through Zoom, I'm actually seeing you in person.
I know. This is, I mean, just like NFL teams who are trying to interview prospects.
I know.
A little bit of FaceTime could go a long way.
So you're interviewing me here? Do I need to be on my P's and Q's here?
I mean, listen, Greg, we've all had bad job interviews.
Yeah.
So if today's not your finest performance, I'm pretty sure I can forgive you.
All right.
But
all
I'm confident in your ability.
All right, so I won't curse today.
Yeah, a lot of non-FCC safe conversations being happened on the install. By the way, you can get that podcast, and we'll have the podcast version of that available for you wherever you get your podcast directly after today's show. Every Wednesday, new episodes drop under normal circumstances. But this is not normal circumstances.
No, it's not.
We're at the Combine.
And what day is it today?
Today, I believe, is Thursday.
I know. I'm so lost on the days.
It gets disorienting very, very fast when you're up here and when you're involved and calling and talking to as many people as you are, and you're trying to keep what day straight and who's talking when and who's working out at any particular point. But the one position that is always on point, Greg, even if it's a lesser class this year, are the quarterbacks. And I think for our purposes, that's where the conversation needs to start. I guess we've had general conversations about scouting. And I believe last week we talked about Matt Corral in a little more detail, where you're kind of, how much of the evaluation can you do given the offense that he plays in and how few of his passes go beyond 5 yards, for example. But on the whole, what do you make of this quarterback class now that we're starting to get more and more into it?
Well, a couple of points I would make. Number one, it's obviously not a high-level class overall. But one of the things, and maybe this is just me, but this is what I've kind of learned over the years, I think when you evaluate a quarterback, obviously, everybody looks at traits, attributes, characteristics. We know that. That's what people do. And my guess is that you could get 10 NFL quarterback coaches here right now, and if you made them list traits, they'd all have the same list.
Yeah.
The question then becomes, how much value do they, as an individual, based on their worldview of the position, their team, what value do they ascribe to each of those given traits? And you'd probably find that different coaches ascribe different values to different traits.
Yeah.
And the second point I'd like to make is you also have to think about what quarterbacks are asked to do in the NFL, because that's ultimately what you're doing. You're projecting and transitioning players to the next level. So what does a quarterback, and this is a conversation that's way longer than just what we're going to do now, but just as a general point, what are quarterbacks asked to do in the NFL? And unless you have a pretty good understanding of that, it's very hard to truly evaluate a college quarterback beyond particular traits.
Yeah, and that's basically been the conversation here all week long. And of course, as we've talked about, even at the quarterback position, you have to keep your scouting principles, for lack of a better term, fluid, just based on how things change and what concepts are working in college and how you are seeing these guys operate. Is there one for you, Greg, right now that you feel, understanding that we can't just volume project without knowing where these guys are going, from a trait standpoint, is there one guy who stands out to you the most as being the most prepared to handle what the next level can bring? It's about as broad as I can ask that question.
No, I'll just preface my answer with saying that there isn't that one guy that truly stands out where you'd say that guy needs to be a top five pick without question. But overall, I would say Kenny Pickett would be the guy based on my film study and in just talking to people when he did interviews at the Senior Bowl and interviews here. I spoke with a coach last night who's a quarterback coach in the league, and he's interviewed all the main quarterbacks. And I would say that Kenny Pickett is the one that stands out to me, both based on film and those other areas that I've learned from other people.
Yeah, and with teams who have quarterback needs, that's going to be obviously a big point of discussion in Pittsburgh in particular, given that that guy's basically in their backyard. Now, as we kind of get away from Kenny Pickett, where do you kind of see this class? Where do you kind of see this class as far as their developmental? Like how many of them are going to be able to come to this level, depending on where we land, because we know the geography is the most important.
Can be.
And kind of flourish within what the NFL has to offer, because with Malik Willis in particular, just talking to coaches and people who were interviewing him, there seems to be a lot of love for this guy, but you're not entirely sure where he makes the most sense, or if a coaching staff is going to be able and willing to adapt what it is they do to that guy's skill set.
And that's a great point, because Malik Willis, and it's not his fault, but he ran a very simplistic offense at Liberty, an offense that really does not translate to the league.
Can we dive in on that a little bit more Liberty? Because I've heard that a couple of different times, and I've watched him, but I would appreciate a more informed perspective about what makes it limited.
Well, normally, when you're dealing with a limited offense, you're dealing with the fact that the quarterback is essentially going to drop back and throw it to the first guy.
Yeah.
And the route concepts themselves. In other words, route concepts in the NFL, for the most part, and nothing's 100%, but for the most part, tend to have combination elements to them. So in other words, there's three or four, could be five receivers that are running routes. Now, they're not all part of an initial progression, but they can come into play depending on how the play plays out.
Right.
So a lot of college offenses, and it's not just Liberty, but a lot of college offenses are essentially one-read offenses, that we call the play, this is where we want to throw the ball, and if it's not there, someone like Malik Willis, who has outstanding running ability, he can run.
Make a play. Yeah.
And very often that can work. So... again, that's not his fault.
No.
But when you look at Malik Willis, and I did have a coach tell me that his football IQ, not his overall, he's interviewed extremely well, and people are really like the kid a lot. I've never met him, but people like the kid a lot. But that his football IQ, they say, is low simply because of what he's been asked to do and what he's been taught.
Right.
There's a lot he's going to need to be taught to play at the NFL. So now if you draft Malik Willis relatively high with the idea that, hey, maybe he's my week one starter, he's certainly not going to be fluent, for want of a better term, in a lot of the NFL pass game concept. So you have to decide what kind of offense can I now run with Malik Willis so that he can function.
Yeah.
And so you think, okay, do you have to run a Lamar Jackson type offense in Lamar's early years in the league, where the foundation of the Ravens offense was Lamar as a runner, not as a thrower? Do you need to do that with Malik Willis? The Eagles almost did a version of that a year ago with Jalen Hurts down the stretch, where he was very much a foundation as a runner. So you have to decide what you can do.
Yeah.
So these are the kinds of things that you have to think about, Buck, when you draft a quarterback that is coming into the league and that has to be taught. You talked about Matt Corral. Matt Corral ran an offense that was RPO featured. When it wasn't true RPOs, it was what we call bang play action, which is a quick fake handoff and a very quick drop, and it's a one-read throw.
Yeah. We talk about those concepts with the Titans all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We see a ton of those concepts with the Titans, those bang play action throws to A.J. Brown on those slant or glance routes.
Yep.
And they can be very effective. He's taken some of those to the house over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But you can't live on that in the NFL.
Yeah.
So now with Corral, who has a very kind of snap delivery, the ball comes out well, but it's kind of a snap delivery, very little range of motion. While you'd say he has a good arm, your thought goes to, you know, can he really drive the football down the field if he has to? Because he's got a certain kind of delivery. It's that quick snap.
Yeah.
So there's questions with all these quarterbacks, and you have to decide what the learning curve is, and you have to decide based on your conversations with them whether they can assimilate all that information and function at a higher level as time goes on. Pickett is ready to do all this right now.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think anyone sees Pickett as elitely talented in terms of physical traits. You know, people would say his arm is a little bit of a concern for some. You know, I think that he does have pretty good movement, which I think a lot of people were uncertain of before this past season. But he does have very good movement. He knows where to throw the football. He probably just doesn't have a special trait.
Yeah.
He probably can line up and run your offense and play quarterback.
Yeah.
I know he can. but he does not have a trait you can hang your hat on and say, wow, that's really special.
It's going to blow you away with what he can do in this one specific area.
Right.
As opposed to how coaches are going to look at this, which how much can I get this guy to do right away if we are going to put him in a position to be
our starter. And I think he can line up and play.
Yeah, that seems to be where the conversation is trending. So we know that these things will change for coaches and for talent evaluators throughout the course of the process, but we know that the film is the ultimate tool for us to be able.
The film is the film.
The film is the film.
Yeah.
He's
not playing any more games.
We should put that. Yes. Yeah. We should put that at the bottom of the podcast. That's the show's mantra. The film
is the film.
Is the film. So for you, Greg, as we go through the pre-draft process, what do you look for? Is there anything that's going to change or adjust your analysis outside of speaking to, is it just speaking to coaches who are going through this process, or is what you have right now, is that what the book on these guys is going to be?
Well, I learn a lot when I speak to coaches.
Sure.
Very often, they don't change my opinion based on film. They just present something to me in a way I didn't quite think of it that way.
Just gives you a different angle.
Just gives me a different angle.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily change, because the last thing that I want to do, and I, by no means do I think I'm right and other people are wrong. That's not my point. But my point is
the difference between you and me, by the way.
Right. My point is that I've been fortunate in my career to be, in a sense, tutored by a lot of really strong quarterback coaches. I feel I have a pretty good sense of evaluating quarterbacks. And I don't want to get caught up in that game where when you talk to coaches and they tell you something that now I change my opinion because a coach told me something. What often happens with me is a coach might tell me something and I might go back and then look at the quarterback a little more just with a different eye because of something I learned. But just because a coach tells me something, I don't automatically say, well, yeah, he's right, and I'm going to totally change my opinion. Like in this conversation I had last night regarding Sam Howell, this coach made a point that I thought was very interesting. He said Howell lost all his targets from 2020 to 2021, which a lot of people are aware of.
Right.
Lost Dyami Brown, lost Newsom, the slot receiver, who was a very good slot receiver at North Carolina. And he said, so Newsom had to play differently in 2021 than he played in 2020. And he said he struggled with that.
Yeah.
He said, but the coach told me, he said that was a really good learning year for him. Even though his tape wasn't as good, he learned that he had to play differently.
Yeah.
Because in the NFL, you're going to have to play differently at times depending on the opponent in any given
week. From week to week.
You might have to play a little differently.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know Sam Howell. I spent a lot of time with him last summer at an event. We talked for 45 minutes. And, you know, I really liked the kid. And then I saw him out here, and he recognized me right away, which was nice.
Yeah.
And we had a brief 10-minute chat. And I don't think he'd think I'm speaking out of school here, but I said, what'd you think of your season? And he said, it wasn't really very good. I really tried to do too much. So he has self-awareness that he didn't play exactly the way he played.
Critical.
In 2020, the way he played in 2021.
Yeah.
It's because I think Sam Howell has traits, but I think there's a lot of things that you still have to teach him, but I think he has traits.
Yeah. Well, see, I love that you brought that up, and we'll wrap up here with Greg shortly because got places to be, people to talk to. Sam Howell, probably a more engaging conversation than I am, Greg, but, you know, I'll try to keep pace. Because when you
say – Well, I think he throws the ball better than you do.
Slightly. Yeah. You know, slightly. Yeah. Hey, give me a run at Lucas Oil. Maybe we'll sneak in. We'll see. I think it's important for you to say something like that specifically, that it just changes the way that you – not changes the way that you think, but changes your perspective on certain things.
Right, because I didn't think about that watching the tape.
Because a lot of people, though, Greg, will just parrot what they hear from the coaches, and then that becomes
now,
a narrative.
Now, it won't
unfairly
change what I saw on the tape.
Right.
Because to me, like I said, the tape is the tape.
Yeah.
But it just gives me a sense of what was in his head.
Yeah.
And the fact that, hey, and that's an important point.
Things that we can't possibly know.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's funny you say that because, and I may have told you the story about Mike McDaniel, but it's true with a lot of coaches. When I talk to coaches, here's what I often come away with. I come away with the attitude that, man, I really know a lot. And then in the next sentence I say, man, I don't really know anything. Because there's things I can't know. I just can't know.
But it changes. It changes annually. Greg Cosell, the best in the business. The Install Podcast, we do it every Wednesday except for this week. Greg?
Yeah, well, we'll be back doing it next week.
We'll be back doing it next week. Always appreciate it. He's going to be on – he's not done with his appearances on the radio station yet today. 3HL today as well. Going to be talking wide receivers with that crew. Greg, I appreciate you stopping by, buddy.
Thanks, Buck. Appreciate it.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.